Good morning, KICY listeners, and welcome again to CareForce. This is Pastor John Cardwell calling from Scammon Bay Covenant Church in Scammon Bay, Alaska, and it is my privilege again and my pleasure to be with you this morning, this Tuesday, March 20th. For a time of a devotional look into the Word of God and also to bring up our prayers together unto the Lord over the airwaves. What an awesome thing that technology, the Lord has allowed in this technology for us to pray in this way. If you have prayer requests and you'd like to call in and you'd like for all of us to pray together on the air, you can call into KICY from the Villages at 1-800-478-5429. That again, that is 1-800-478-KICY. 1-800-478-KICY. Or if you're calling from Nome, you can call dialed locally at 443-2213. That's 443-2213 in Nome. Or 800-478-KICY if you're calling in from the Villages. I get the privilege of being able to be here on Tuesday, whereas every other Monday is my day. But we were looking at Revelation chapter 20 yesterday, and we didn't finish it because we broke it up into two parts, my knowing that I was going to be on today. And as you're turning to Revelation 20, let me pray just a moment to begin with. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we can gather together over the airwaves here in Western Alaska and even all over the world for those that may be listening in live via internet. We thank you, Lord, for this time. I'm reminded even as I'm praying now, Lord, that I am the most unlikely of your ministers, of your preachers and teachers of the word, because I stutter often. My delivery is often not very good, but I pray, Father, that your word will go forth in power, that I will be just a vessel of the channel of your blessing unto the listeners today, that your spirit is ministering unto the people that are hungry for your word. And for those that don't know you, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit bring conviction unto sin, righteousness, and judgment, that they may turn, repent from sin, and turn unto you by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. And with these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Revelation chapter 20, we left off with the thousand-year millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ on the planet. I believe, I take the Bible seriously, and I believe that as it says that Jesus will reign for 1,000 years, I believe he's literally going to reign for 1,000 years. And we left off in verse 7, Satan was bound for 1,000 years during this time, after Christ's return, ruling and reigning with the blessed saints that have been saved by grace through faith, that have been resurrected in the first resurrection, and then Satan is loosed at the end of that 1,000 years. Why? Because this time is prosperous. This time is a time of a great prosperity and great pleasantness in the land, is fulfilling the scriptures that were given unto the prophets and unto the, written in the Psalms all about this time as a promise unto the generations of descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the nation of Israel. And in verse 7 it says, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." And verse 9, "And they went up on the breath of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." Verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Now, before we get into the great white throne judgment of verses 11 and 15, we just want to comment on this. Chapters 38 and 39 of Ezekiel, it speaks of a Gog-Magog invasion. Now, some people believe that it'll happen at the beginning of the tribulation or just prior to the tribulation. There are other people that believe that it will be coincident or happen incidentally at the same time as the Battle of Armageddon that we read in Revelation chapter 9, as are gathered in chapter 16 at the sixth vial judgment. And then Jesus comes with the word of his mouth, destroys the armies that gathered. Some people believe that that will take place there. But then we have this in chapter 20. I suggest that in a reading of Ezekiel 38 and 39, that there may be a possibility that will happen in portions of each one of those periods. And that they would all be called the Gog-Magog invasion, because Satan leading demonic armies from the north and elsewhere to converge. And so there'll be partial fulfillments at the beginning of the tribulation, which usher in the Antichrist in Revelation chapter 6. We took a look at that. And then possibly at the Battle of Armageddon, as they gather together, where Christ, through the word of his mouth, destroys the armies of these kings that come to battle against them. And then finally, this will be the ultimate fulfillment of it. And then Satan is cast into the lake of fire. If you remember yesterday, if you tuned in yesterday, I said that Jesus, in the gospel accounts, he said that the lake of fire, of brimstone, is the lake of fire and brimstone was made specifically for Satan and his angels, the third of the angels that were cast down when Satan was cast out of heaven in Revelation 12, that a third of the angels rebelled with him in Satan's initial fall when he fell and deceived Eve and caused Adam to disobey in the garden, that Satan is let loose to deceive the nations, because this is the trial. Are conforming to the image of Christ. This is why in the millennium it is a time when Jesus is ruling and reigning upon the earth, and Satan is not around. And it's a time of prosperity, a time of plenteousness, a time of beauty and wonder, and like the Garden of Eden multiplied. Beyond that, because Jesus is ruling and reigning upon the throne. Those things, notwithstanding, there are men that survived through the tribulation period that inherited Adam's sinful flesh. So when Satan is let loose, they're given an opportunity to say, look, I've lived 1,000 years with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And others that will say, hey, maybe there's my way is a better way. And saying my way is a better way is saying it's Satan's way, because that's, we looked at that, the five I wills of Isaiah 14 in Satan's fall. Satan says, I will be higher, I will ascend to the throne and the sides of the north, etc. Five times he said, I will. The pride of Satan. And he'll try to lead this rebellion. Then we read what we really want to get at. I was talking about yesterday, verses 11 through 15, and I'm going to read them right now. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In verse 11, I believe that that is God on the throne. It is different from the judgment seat of Christ, where believers will be taken before Jesus, and all of our righteous works that were in Christ will be preserved, and we will be rewarded and receive honor for those works that were done by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit in us, empowering us even to yield unto His Spirit works that spring forth from the reality and the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord, the reality and truth that Jesus Christ was the substitutionary sacrifice for sin, that He was the gracious gift offered by God for the propitiation of our sins. That's different. This, I believe, is God, the Father, in the great white throne judgment. And hell is this death in hell, or actually the lake of fire, as the destiny of those sinners that have rejected God. Now, there's not a lot of preaching about hell, unfortunately, in the church these days, because in these days there needs to be a lot more preaching about hell than any other preaching that's going on, sadly. We tend to write hell off as something, the lake of fire and eternal damnation, as being something that is light, that is nothing, that is somewhat even flippant. God forbid. We need to get the reality of what the eternal destiny of sinners are. We as believers especially. This is why we would have an urgency to preach the gospel. Because there is no urgency, because we don't have a reality in ourselves of what hell is about. Consider this. The doctrine of hell is important. The doctrine of eternal damnation for sinners is important, because without that, it says that sin is just, a mistake, a casual thing, a little blunder or a little error. Let's put it into perspective. The doctrine of eternal damnation, as far as eternal punishment for sinners, is so important, because without it, or to dismiss it, is to actually impugn the nature and character of God. It is to say that He is not holy. See, God reveals Himself in His Word as a holy God. And He is holy in His righteousness. He is holy in His goodness. He is holy in His justice. He is holy in His mercy and in His grace. He is holy in His truth. God is truth. God is righteous. God is just. But all these things are in His holiness. He is completely distinct and separate from all of His creation. But there's another attribute of God that we tend to forget. You know, He is omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. He is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He is omniscient. He knows all things. God cannot learn, because the idea of learning would mean that He is insufficient. God is sufficient in Himself. But the character I want to talk to you about, the nature or attribute that I would like to talk to you about, is the infinitude of God. He is infinite. God is without end. We'll never come to the end of God. We'll never learn everything there is to know about God, because even in all eternity, we'll still make discoveries about God. We'll still make discoveries about Jesus Christ. We'll still make discoveries about the Holy Spirit, for God is eternal and infinite. God is a being infinitely lovely, because He hath infinite excellency and beauty. He is infinitely excellent and beautiful. He is infinite in loveliness. He is infinite in greatness and majesty and in glory. He is infinite in honor. He is infinitely exalted above all creation, all kings of the earth, and infinitely exalted above all the highest angels that He has created in heaven. He is infinitely more honorable than anything in the universe. His authority over us is infinite. And the ground that we tread on should tremble under the fact of his infinite kindness, His infinite goodness, and His infinite justice and judgment And because of that, we need to walk infinitely obedient unto Him. That we have an absolute, that we must obey Him infinitely, and we have an absolute and universal and infinite, we must have an absolute, universal, and infinite dependence upon Him. Because God is infinitely glorious, infinitely holy. He is infinity and beyond. He is, that is the truth of God. And therefore sin, all sin, it's not just a mistake, it's a sin against God. And being in violation of His infinite obligations, which He has given in His commandments, to know who He is. And when we have sinned against the Word of God, sinned against Jesus, sinned against God the Father, we have sinned infinitely. It is a crime infinitely heinous and deserving of infinite punishment. That's the reality of it. When we disregard the infinite punishment of the sinner, see, there's also on the flip side of that, there is the infinite reward of the believer saved by grace through faith. Eternity with Jesus Christ, worshiping Him in infinite adoration. But we're talking about eternal punishment. We need to realize that, because if we say that there is no eternal punishment, like some people are trying to preach today, that, oh, there's just soul sleep, or there's just no hell, there's no, it'll end sometime, or whatever. That's saying that sin is not as bad as it is. Therefore, it's saying that the cross of Jesus Christ was just something. It blasphemes the cross of Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus Christ, He went up there, and He was just a good example. No! He suffered the very wrath of God for our sins, because that's how wretched and vile sin is. We need to realize that, brethren. Brothers and sisters who are saved, I urge you, I implore you, I exhort you, I beg you to understand this truth, that we might have an urgency, because people are going to be doomed to hell. They are going to perish eternally in everlasting punishment, infinite punishment, because they were infinitely sinful when they have committed one sin against God and have not repented and turned unto Jesus Christ. They are doomed infinitely because they have sinned infinitely against an infinite God. And for those of you that are unbelievers, I pray that this truth by the Holy Spirit, even over the airwaves, miraculously come to you. That your destiny, if you do not have Jesus Christ, if you do not hate sin and love God, by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, that you need to fall on your face and repent. Even now, if you can, fall upon your knees and beg God for His mercy to change the heart of stone into a heart of flesh. That is the reality. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 25, it says, if one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. In other words, he shall judge him and inflict a finite punishment, such as a finite or limited judge can inflict, because he's human. But 1 Samuel 2:25 goes on to say, but if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? I'll tell you who shall. That is a prophetic utterance that it shall be the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, who suffered the wrath of Almighty God upon the cross, that those who call upon Him may be saved. You want a more real picture of hell? Jesus spoke more of hell than anybody else in the Bible, even in the Old Testament. We don't really get a picture or a description of what it is. Jesus really only taught on heaven once, but He taught on hell several times. And in Luke chapter 16, He paints a picture of some very sobering things that we need to really take a look at in Luke 16 and verse 19. It begins, and most of you probably know the parable. Or it may not be a parable because it starts off in verse 19. There was a certain rich man. It doesn't start off as parables does. Jesus says that there's a man in particular that he knows of. He's telling us an actual story of what happened in hell. Verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. This story that Jesus tells is about two beggars, Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus is a beggar on earth. The rich man's a beggar in hell. Verse 20, it says, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, Jesus is saying there was someone named Lazarus, because he is God, he knows of, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with crumbs, which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. The only thing that gave him any comfort were unclean animals that came and licked his sores. In verse 22 it says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. Notice that the rich man was buried. Lazarus probably wasn't buried. It doesn't say that he was buried. He was died and he was carried by angels. But his body, what happened to that? As a beggar, full of sores, he was probably cast into Gehenna, the valley of Hinnom, the garbage dump that never ceases to burn day and night, full of uncleanness. He was probably just thrown there, but the rich man was buried. But notice this in verse 23. And in hell, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. The term for the compartment of paradise, until Jesus rose from the dead. And now the compartment called Abraham's bosom is empty and brought the saints into heaven. It was a compartment of comfort. Abraham's bosom is what the Jews called it. And notice this, that the rich man has presence of mind, and he can see unto the heavenly realm, unto Abraham's bosom. He's conscious of it, and he's being tormented. And now in verse 24, he cries out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And that should be pretty sobering to us who pray to statues, to pray to saints. There is only one that you pray to, and that is the Father through the Son and in the Son's name. Here he is praying unto to Father Abraham, who is a patriarch. He says, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Here the rich man is now the beggar. And he would just like, he knows that he has an awareness that he can't go there. But he prays for something, he prays for comfort, just some drops of water to be on his tongue. Because where is this place? It's where it says that Jesus and other places say that it is a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And here is this man crying out, weeping, and is gnawing on his tongue for pain. He would like to just have some cool water applied to it. He is aware of the heavenly realm. But Abraham said this in verse 25, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place. Abraham saith unto them, they have Moses and the prophets, let him hear them. And verse 30, and he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one, though one rose from the dead. And brothers and sisters in Christ, that's the condition that we have reached in the church. We have the law and the prophets. We have Moses and the prophets. We have the abundantly above that. We have the apostles of the New Testament as well. We have Moses and the prophets and the apostles of the New Testament all testifying that one has risen from the dead. One was crucified for our sins, Jesus Christ. And he rose from the dead, and we let people die all around us. We let them dwell in sin. Do not and not tell them to flee from the wrath that is to come. Eternal punishment for them who are lost. And then we commit the same sins. We say that we're Christians, and then we turn out into the world and do the same things. God help us. We need to come to God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. We need to fall. If we don't know Christ, we need to repent and turn from sin and turn to Him and beg Him to turn our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh, that we may be a new creature. And if we have called ourselves Christians, if there's not an awakening in our hearts to know the reality of eternal punishment and eternal reward, to know them both, to know all the doctrines, to be in His Word, but we treat the Word lightly, we don't even read it. It is a real thing. The Bible says it. It declares it. And even if I gave no other logical explanations as I gave, that because the Bible said it, it is true. This is the Word of God. Jesus prayed in the garden the night He was betrayed, and He prayed for His disciples that were there in the garden, and even for all of us, He prayed, Father, sanctify them by Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. And we treat His Word as if it's nothing. We treat Jesus Christ as if He's just something we can add to our Nintendo or our basketball or our subsistence hunting or fishing, as long as I have my snow go, okay, I'll add Jesus. And we treat the Son of God as if He's nothing. We treat the Son of God, who was crushed under the mighty weight of the wrath of God, as if He's nothing. God, forgive us. God, forgive us. I can even tell, Lord, that there are some people that are out there saying, what is He crying about? If you're saying that in your heart right now, you can't be saved right now. You need to pray to God that He change that hardened heart by His supernatural working. Because if you don't understand that the Son of God came in human flesh and humbled Himself to be crushed under the mighty wrath of God, the holy wrath and the just wrath of God, the righteous Son, God in human flesh, then you need to cry out to God to help you in your unbelief. Jesus isn't just something, folks, if you're listening today. Jesus isn't just something. He's everything. We need to weep for our sin. As Jeremiah cried out in Jeremiah chapter 9, oh, that my head were waters. Jesus is coming and we need to turn to Him and make Him everything. For there is eternal punishment. But greater than that, there is eternal reward, because there's Revelation chapter 21 and 22. Just these verses in Revelation that we read today, in verses 11 through 15, there is the white throne judgment, and there will be eternal punishment for those sinners who have infinitely defied an infinite God. But there's chapter 21 and 22. The new heaven and the new earth of infinite glory to be with God. To be with God. But those who are outside in Revelation chapter 22, but without our dogs, those are unclean animals, and sorcerers and whoremongers, and this is in Revelation 22 verse 15, sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loves and makes a lie, those will be outside of the city. Notice that anybody who lies is coupled together with sorcerers and murderers and idolaters. Lord God, hear our cry. There are people out there right now crying unto you, Lord. They're calling out. They've heard this. They realize, they recognize the beauty and majesty of God Almighty in Jesus Christ, and see the payment that He has, the price, the precious price that He has paid with His life, to be crushed under the mighty weight of the wrath of God, that we might have eternity with You. Lord God, minister unto us in forgiveness and mercy. Lord God, minister unto those who don't know You even now, that we might repent and turn unto You. Lord God Almighty, there is nothing, Your arm is not so short that You cannot save. And even for us, Lord, we believers, may we always come before Your throne. It says that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, but Lord, I see Your holiness. And I come with a broken heart and contrite spirit, and I pray for all those who would confess the name of Jesus Christ, that would profess to be a Christian, that we come before You this day in brokenness and then of a contrite spirit. That those are the ones that You have drawn near to. The Lord is near, according to Psalm 34. The Lord is near unto those. And Lord God, thank You, Father, that You have given us Your word. You didn't leave us in the dark. You showed us what we must do. We pray, Father, that You give us the strength to be obedient unto You, that we walk in faith and not by sight, that we believe upon Your word and recognize who You are. Lord God, there are prayers, and we pray these requests. We don't know. These come from our situations and circumstances, but we, Lord, first and foremost, we want to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We want to be like Jesus. We want to know Your glory. And so we lift up these, and we pray, Lord, that You'll do as You will with them, that You answer the prayers. You answer prayers always. Either the answer is either yes, no, or wait. Even unto, Lord, that You are so sovereign that You even answer prayers of unbelievers. Mostly it's no. But Lord, that You answer prayers according to Your will to bring all these things. Lord, we pray for a listener who's her boyfriend's relationship with each other in their family. I pray, Father, that it's a godly relationship. Father, that they would keep themselves pure, because You are pure. You're infinitely pure, and I pray, Father, that You'll minister unto them the truth of that as they seek to have a relationship, that they keep themselves separate according to Your word until they come together in marriage. that they'll be delivered from alcohol. Father, cure us of these things that we bring in that would keep us from seeing you. Strengthen our hearts that we would not be given over to alcohol and drugs. I pray, Father, that we all be healed from all these little petty things that come in that keep us from knowing who you are. I pray, Father, that they are repenting and they surrender to you as that was their request. And I pray, Lord, that they meet with true repentance even now. I pray, Lord, for our listener's brother-in-law who's suffering from diabetes, that he may be healed. As Lord, there is healing in your wings. And I pray, Father, for ultimate healing in his brother-in-law's life. And I pray, Father, a prayer is requested for a listener. The listener's older sister, as she is addicted to alcohol, and pray, Father, alcohol keeps on coming up, Lord. Remove this vileness from us, from Western Alaska. Father, we pray that she be delivered from that bondage. I pray, Father, for all these bootleggers in Western Alaska, that they would be saved. I know stories of bootleggers that have been saved, and I rejoice. Hallelujah, Lord. I rejoice that there are bootleggers that have been saved and are now preaching the gospel. And I pray that you would change hearts supernaturally, Lord. That you would create a creation miracle within the hearts of these bootleggers and drug dealers, and that they would be saved and turned to preaching the gospel. To be ministers of reconciliation instead of wreaking havoc. Lord, there's a listener from Lower Yukon calling for a prayer for a friend who is depressed. Elijah was depressed, Lord, but he knew who you were so that your voice could come clear. I pray, Lord, your voice comes clear. This friend has a drinking problem again. God, help us from this alcohol. It's sending people to eternal torment, Lord. It's not just wrecking their lives now. It's sending them away because they won't see Jesus through this, Lord. She's contemplating suicide. We pray that you intervene, Lord. I pray that she may be listening right now and say that there is comfort in knowing that there is an infinite reward waiting for those who diligently seek you. Oh God, we pray for a sister with a tumor in her head, and Lord, you'll bring this tumor away as a miracle. What you can do to remove sin as tumor, as a cancer, is like a sin that just spreads. And I pray, Father, that is a spiritual, it's a metaphor spiritually. As I see tumor and cancer, and it just spreads and it eats up, just as sin spreads in lives and just eats up and consumes. And I pray, Father, that this would be halted through the blood of Jesus. And pray, Lord, for her children, and that they will receive the grace that you give so freely and so graciously through your Son. And that you'll provide also, as you supply all their needs according to your riches and glory. And we praise you, God, for a sister in prayer is delivered from nicotine. And pray, Father, that she that all the afflictions of her body would be healed, and that Lord, that you deliver her day by day, and that you minister unto her the truth of the cross of Jesus Christ, and give her a fervent desire to be in your word. That Lord, there is a listener's son who had a dream showing him the lost and those that are saved through Christ. And I pray, Father, that it is be according to the word. And even as we looked at the lost today, Lord, I pray, Father, that this would be an urgency unto his entire village and all of our villages, Lord, to preach the gospel, to preach the truth of the cross according to your word, that Jesus is risen. He's coming again. Pray, Lord, for those who need need the reality of heaven and hell in the core of our lives. Lord, here's this prayer that we prayed yesterday, and I'd forgotten about it, but I rejoice, Lord, that we pray for those who need to know the reality of heaven and hell. And Lord, that it's not just for the unbelievers. It is for the believers, that we have a reality of it, that your Holy Spirit will be filling us and come upon us, that we go forth in the power of your Spirit and not by our strength, our intellect, or any of our doings, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord. We pray, Lord God, that that would be real. We pray for a listener's son also, that you may protect him, Lord, and we pray for those, again, addicted to drugs and alcohol, Lord. Father, remove these things from our presence and pray, Father, that your Spirit will drive to the hearts and souls of those who are listening. And we do thank God for KICY, Lord, and sharing the prayer requests as this listener calls in. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for KICY. We pray, Lord, as a listener requests for a brother who is starting a new job and prays. They pray for protection and success. I pray, Lord, for faithfulness. That as this brother who's starting a new job, that he would see your faithfulness in bringing this job to him, and that others around him will see your faithfulness in him. I pray for faithfulness, Lord, in this job. Lord, a prayer is requested for two single moms for deliverance from the bondage of addictions. Again, addictions, Lord, and they are lost and need to turn their lives over to you, Lord, for healing, that there is only healing in you, Lord, that even healing physically now is temporary. Ultimate healing needs to be our focus. Lord, remove us from this, from the vileness of living in this time constraint. Let us be heavenly minded and eternal minded, Lord, that we might minister unto those that need to receive you, that they may see eternity, that they may see hope. Father, a prayer was requested for a listener's teenage son who's 13 and living with his grandparents, and he's not helping them. He's coming home late. Pray, Father, that discipline would be in the center of this household, as you are a disciplining father, and love those and chastise those whom are yours. We pray also, Lord, for the listener's brother who's struggling with an alcohol problem, Lord. Oh, God, save us. Lord, help us. Have mercy upon us in this alcohol situation. I pray, Lord God, for a listener's brother who's stuck in Anchorage and addicted to alcohol again, Lord. We pray, Lord God, that you would speak to him and show him that you are the only way to remove us. Lord, we need to be eternal minded. We have lost the concept of what eternity is, and therefore we only live for the now. And we get caught up in alcohol and drug. Lord, save us from these things. Father, we pray for a son with problems in his right ear. And that, Lord God, that you will heal him. And that he would not lose his hearing. And that, most importantly, Lord, he would hear from you. And pray for the mother who's experiencing chronic headaches, Lord. And that, Lord God, you would heal her and the doctors may find the reason for these problems. And we pray for all our leaders, Lord, for our pastors in the pulpits, for tribal councils and traditional councils. We pray for our local leadership, Lord, for our church leadership, Lord, our church boards and our elders and deacons. We pray, Lord God, for the leaders of our state and the leaders of our nation. We pray for the president, Lord. Pray, Lord, that it may be peaceable with us. Lord, there's a son's behavior problem at home and school. We pray, Lord, that you will minister unto him to be respectful to all elders, not just as teachers, but to all adults. And pray, Father, for the parents and teachers to give them wisdom in steering children in the right direction. Give them wisdom and knowledge to educate our children in the way that they should go. to become productive members of the body of Christ. We pray for listeners. I pray for a listener's mother's son who is rebellious, as he's 17, doesn't want anything, doesn't want to do anything. He's given over to laziness, Lord. And we pray, Lord God, that you will provide insight for the mother and your supernatural power to come in and change this young man. We pray also, Lord, for some cousins that have lost their mom due to medical issues, and pray, Lord God, that you'll protect them and guide them, and that they will receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We pray also for this listener's, one of this friends of this listener who doesn't think Bible camp or anything like that is important, and that he'll and pray, Lord, that this friend will receive Jesus Christ also. Lord, give us an eternal heart. Give us an eternal mind that we may not just think of the things that are going on in the here and now. And that's, these things are important because they conform us to the image of Christ. But people are given over to alcohol, Father, because they, and drugs, and all these other things, because they don't see in Christians the reality of eternity, that we have heaven in our sight as hope, and we flee from the wrath that is to come. The Bible speaks of it, Lord. Make it real unto us. Make it real. Bring the truth to the core of our being, that we might know that thou alone art God and worthy to be praised. We lift up these prayers. We thank you for KICY, for Pastor Tim, for Brother Dennis, for Sister Lou, everybody that is on the KICY staff, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, because this is the day that we have seen eternity. We have seen that you are coming, Lord, and that hell is a reality. Eternal punishment is the truth of your word. And we need to warn everyone we can to flee from the wrath to come by the cross of Jesus Christ. And in Jesus' glorious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen.